The whole reason I started Reiki was because when I started practicing yoga, I would often feel really weird things starting on my body. I had what is the ultimate experience for anyone who's trying to become enlightened, which is a Kundalini awakening. But then it all started to turn dark. Then it leads you into thinking, well, I feel like that because I'm not on my home planet. I wanted to escape everything. I wanted to escape good and evil. I think the main way that Jesus ended up reaching me was...
Hello and welcome back to the Almost False Podcast, where I interview regular people with incredible stories. Today, I had the chance to talk to someone who used to be a Reiki master, and she described in detail what Reiki is all about. She also explained what it was like for her to have a Kundalini awakening and to see spiritual beings, and how all of that led her down a path of complete darkness. She isn't a newbie in the New Age. In fact, she grew up in it. So we went back to the very beginning of Francesca's life, starting with her grandma. You had spirituality in your home. It wasn't just religion. And I say that because your grandma was a witch living in Italy. So
yes.
Can you tell me about your grandma? And I know that you have a few stories about her. So what do you know about your grandma?
The only thing I know about her is what my mom has told me. And that's she was incredibly psychic, really, really good with her predictions. So one of the ways her family experienced, I don't know what war it would have been, probably would have been World War II, but it was a time basically where Italy was being bombed. And she was so accurate with her predictions that she was telling them where to like move out of buildings. And that is, the whole family swears that's how they survived, was because of her. Another story that my mom had of her is that she used to do the Ouija board a lot. And my mother used to, you know, ask questions, and I can't remember why exactly, but one day she asked like a lottery question, which is a big no-no, which is so strange because I don't think it's a no-no now, but like you're speaking with these spirits, but you're not supposed to ask how to gain wealth or something. Those were the rules that my grandma had anyway, but the spirit apparently got angry and she had been using a cup in the middle as like the thing to move around on the board. And my mom swears that the cup flew out the window. It was an open window and it just just flew out and just crashed on the ground. So that's something she saw, which was another huge reason my mom took what she said so seriously about me. Another thing was that my mom would see her like ask questions to a Bible. So like a Catholic witch, it's just crazy, but she would put a Bible on scissors and it would spin one way for yes and one way for no. And my mom had seen through a crack in the door one night that book spinning like crazy on top of the scissors. Now, I've never experienced anything like that in my life, anything insane like that with any of the kind of New Age stuff that I've done. But yeah, that's what she saw with my grandmother. And another thing as well is my mom actually, in regards to me and my abilities, my mom actually had a dream of me when she was pregnant with me. And I came to her in the dream as a 7-year-old and I told her, my name is Francesca. I'm going to be special. Everything is okay. So that was another huge factor in mom, you know, thinking certain things about my abilities.
And your grandma also singled you out pretty young, saying that you had some special abilities too. That was when you were still in Italy or right as you were about to leave. Can you explain what she said about you?
Yeah. So when my mother had finally decided to leave my father and leave Italy, because she was trapped there at the time. I don't think that was a period where she could work because she was in another country. So she's basically dependent on this crazy family with two kids. And we were going to board a train and she was with me and my sister and we were trying to get on the train. And I believe my sister was already on there with someone else. I can't remember who she said. But my grandma basically pulled my hair, my ponytail back, and pulled me like to the other side and said, this one has my gift, and tried to take me. So mom was terrified because she had to run after me, leaving Fabienne on the train. thinking that, you know, she was going to lose me to this crazy woman. But yeah, that's when she first told my mother that I had her abilities and she wanted to keep me.
And you had some abilities pretty young. Your mother was very into astrology, and because of that, you kind of got propulsed into it as well. Can you explain in what were you doing with astrology in elementary school?
In elementary school, it would have been just simply things like reading astrology to my friends. So my mom actually studied astrology pretty hardcore. She had like really scientific books on it, as in the sense, like, you know how they say astrology is a science. So it gets into the whole minute, like, I don't know, rotations of the planets and everything, where they exactly are in the sky. She had these sorts of books with everything and doing a whole chart and that sort of thing. So yeah, my mother introduced it to me and I had all these kinds of books and I would start reading it to my friends. So not only was it introduced to me, but I introduced it to a lot of people. And everyone's going to get hooked when they hear things about themselves. So that's one thing we can get into, even though it's a power of Satan. I do believe that astrology can be very true and really work, because by the time I was in high school, I was so good at it that I went around and guessed the whole cohort's star sign. And I'm pretty sure if anyone would try and like remember me from high school, they would be like that astrology girl who guessed my star sign. And to me, that's crazy. Like, if it's not true, how was I able to guess people's signs so accurately? Basically, that was a gift for me. And even if I couldn't get their sign, I'd get the element right, you know? So I was able to tell if someone was fiery or watery or earthy.
Interesting. You also had another sort of gift. I don't know if it's similar to it, but some sort of prophetic giftings about predicting future events, a little bit like what you talked about with your grandma during the war. How was it for you?
A lot of it could have just been deducing certain things, just being very smart, knowing things that my mom had talked about with other people and knowing the kind of underlying meaning behind it all, which a six-year-old shouldn't know. Things like that would happen. I would have dreams and say, hey, this happened in my dream. And then it would happen the next day. Or I'd talk about something that happened in a dream that had just happened with my mom the day before, something that I hadn't seen because I wasn't with her. And yeah, as I grew up in that and started getting more into the new age, trying to understand myself, not through the lens of Christ, but through the lens of pantheism and new ageism, I had a very strong intuition. So I was very intuitive with people. I was also very empathic. So I could really pick up on people's feelings of depression, you know, loneliness, and I would take them on.
It's interesting. And something that is quite interesting with you, which I don't think is common, is that you pretty much grew up in the New Age with your grandma already doing these kinds of practices and your mom being very into astrology. So you were brought up with it. And there wasn't much to it in the beginning of your life, except for the little things that we talked about with astrology and whatever, until you got into high school. And that's when you started feeling the effects of what these practices were doing in you, and you started having sleep paralysis and night terrors. Can you talk about that period of your life and how all those things kind of came together?
When I look back on that now, like, I really think that Satan has like a plan for all of us, and he knows all of us, especially from a young age, and he's been watching us. So what you would think something like night terrors is going to terrify a child, but for me, it drew me deeper into his plan for my life, because once again, there was something different about me and something special that I kind of had to research and figure out. So around the time that I was 16 is when I first started experiencing the sleep paralysis. And there's nothing else to say other than it's terrifying. And you can't move. You can see your room, but your eyes aren't open. So it's almost like you're seeing with a different eye. And it really just depends on the type of night or the sleep paralysis that you're having. Sometimes it's a distorted room that feels like a really bad, hellish version of your room. Sometimes you see entities, other people. I would feel myself being touched and that sort of thing. And when I ran to my mother about it, it was just once again a thing like, oh, you know, you're special. You've always felt things around you. You've always kind of mentioned things as a kid. And so I should have been terrified of it. And I was when it was happening, but it led me deeper into the new age, because now you start to think, okay, you're a medium. You need to learn how to communicate with these spirits. They're coming to you for help. And speaking to them makes it worse, and it's a whole thing. But it also led me into other things, like trying to learn how to astral travel. And that is something that is so, so dangerous, because your soul is, you know, basically leaving your body while you sleep, and you're completely vulnerable. But from the lens of the new age, it's all your mind state. So it's all how positive you are, depending on what kind of experience you get in the astral realm. You know, so if you're terrified, you're going to go into a, you know, a lower realm. And if you're feeling love and peace, you're going to go into a higher realm. So then I would try to play with that and experiment with that. But unfortunately for me, I never went into any high realms in the sleep paralysis. It was always terrifying because, you know, your body is warning you. You're getting flooded with cortisol. It's either, I don't know if it's God designed you to know that it's bad, or God himself like warning you. And it might have been the ways he always tried to say me, because I was always trying to, even though I would try and research it and do it, I would eventually always try and pull myself out of it. Like something felt so wrong.
Well, I want to ask you about the positive mindset, because I hear it a lot from people that say it's all about how you feel and it's a manifestation of your inner being. Did you have any success with that? Because to me, what it sounds like, it's just a cope out that if you get terrified, you say, oh, you were terrified before. But obviously, like if you see something scary, you're going to be scared. So to me, it's a reaction more than what's creating it. But you having tried that, did you see any efficacy in applying those positive thoughts before or whatever?
Not with the sleep paralysis or astral travel or anything like that, but in everyday life, I guess, yes. Satan is baiting you, right? So he's giving you like just enough to keep you going. And a whole part, I think, where the positive mindset played a huge role in my life. As you probably heard about in my testimony, a huge reason I got into New Age was the healing aspect first. Mm-hmm. Because yes, it was, you know, there was something different about me, that I had been researching certain things at a younger age. But by the time I was like 20, 22 is when I actually started doing New Age practices, because I was a very depressed person. I was a burden on people around me. And I was starting to get to that age where I really did not like the effect I had on people. I didn't like that I caused my family so much grief when I tried to commit suicide. I didn't like that it was so burdensome on them for me to always just not want to participate in life. And I know that's very, very tiring. And even though if, you know, my mother knew the Lord, things might have been dealt with differently if I knew the Lord. But I believe that my family did the best that they could. So I got into the first kind of real practices I started doing other than astrology was yoga and meditation. And that was to try to like get into all of this negativity in me to create a more positive mind state. Because once you start studying all of that, then you get to the point where you think, yeah, anything bad that's happening to you is because you're at fault. You know, there's something in you creating that. You know, I would have things that happened a lot. Money was an issue for me a lot. And my sister was very good with money. So she would be like, you just don't believe you're worthy of it. You know, because she's very new agey too. She'd be like, you've just got to feel worthy of the money. You've got to feel abundant. So then you get into the positive affirmations, which is like, I am wealthy. I am this. I am beautiful. And you know, yeah, sure. I saw success certain times, in my life with that. So it was mostly to be a great manifester that I tried to stay on this positive mindset train. But yeah, no, it was always like a bipolar roller coaster. You'd end up going down again. You'd end up getting depressed again. And all this work you thought you'd been doing, you're like, what's wrong? What am I doing wrong? So then you try and dive deeper and go into something else to try and fix it.
Right. You mentioned that you were very depressed. And I think that coincides with the time where you left home to live in Japan for a year, and a lot of things happened. You were away from home for the first time. You became depressed. And it seems like that was the start of your spiraling down into the new age. I want to ask you, first of all, why was that such a pivotal moment in your life? And why did you all of a sudden really get deep into these practices? Although you were aware of them from a young age, you weren't really practicing until that. So can you explain why?
I think the main reason that Japan was pivotal in changing me is because before that, even though being young and having experienced like astrology and my sleep paralysis, I was always pretty sober, you know, grounded. The Lord probably gives us natural defense mechanisms against things. And even though I might have been signing certain contracts through, this is something I didn't mention, but I did try the Ouija board when I was little, you know, as a fun game, which my mom told me about. So that's how I knew about it. And yeah, maybe that allowed them in my life. I still probably had a certain amount of defense. No one will know the answer. I was always very, very against any kind of alcohol or any kind of drug whatsoever. And I remember I used to be disgusted when I'd see my mom drink. And that was another thing she never really got about me, because from such a young age, I understood that that was poison. You know, I would tell her, why are you drinking poison? But what ended up happening in Japan is I think I just got to such a low state, even though I loved living there and I thought it was a dream come true. I guess I was just an 18-year-old girl completely isolated for a whole year and just lived by myself in an apartment. And I ended up a little bit anorexic because all the girls around me were, this is another reason, just no self-worth. And all the girls were so thin and I could barely fit into the clothes in stores. So I stopped eating. And another thing was the only main contact I had was with my manager. So I was teaching English. And he was like a really old, cooler guy, just chill, smoked weed, and basically tried to change my mindset on like drugs and alcohol. And it was the very first time that I ever got drunk was in Japan, and I got horrifically drunk. And I did that a few times before I left. And then by the time I came back to Australia, I was more open to trying other things, and I was open to smoking weed and all of that and seeking it out as well. And I do believe that played a huge part in some of the more crazy and intense things that happened to me later, such as the energy stuff and the Kundalini awakening, which we can get into. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask you about, because that period of your life was such a low for you that it made you go into self-help, which then led you to yoga and energy work. And as part of that energy work, you eventually became a Reiki master. Reiki is a term that we hear more and more. Not a lot of people know what it actually is. So from you, can you explain what Reiki is?
So Reiki is basically a technique that's used to heal yourself. The way that it first came about, I can't remember the names or anything, but it was from it's a Japanese man who began it and started teaching it to other people. I think basically he wanted some sort of healing method, and he went up onto a mountain, didn't eat, drink, and just meditated for days upon days. And then finally he had a vision of these symbols, which I cannot remember now. And I'm really glad, because I like burnt all of that. And that was even way before Jesus, because I just started thinking, this is suspicious. But we can get into that too. I was always like teeter-tottering between these things, thinking, how do I really know what's going on in the spiritual realm, and kind of taking a step back even before Jesus. But yeah, so basically then what you do is you use these symbols, you become a master, you become initiated, and you use the symbols over you or over someone else, and you're calling in universal energy. And that unit, like, it's not supposed to be taking your energy or anyone else's energy. So it's just replenishing you from the universe. And that's its main focus. And from there, you're meant to kind of, they say you can heal physical ailments, but it's mostly meant for spiritual and emotional.
And that's why you got into it, because you were looking for some sort of healing. So my question is, you becoming a Reiki master, did you get healed?
No. No, at the time I thought I was, because you're seeing things happen, crazy things. The whole reason I started Reiki was because when I started practicing yoga while smoking weed, of course, I would often feel really weird things starting on my body. Like lots of buzzing in certain areas, lots of like feelings like of a river gushing, kind of like energy flowing. And I would research it. And then when I researched it, I was like, okay, this is my chakras. So then I got further into that system of the whole body's energy system. And then I would use my hands to kind of move energy around. And I would feel a lot happening. Like I would feel so many emotions come up to the surface. And then, you know, like crying, so like getting all this stuff out that you think is childhood trauma. And then I would feel like bursts of love. And I would feel calm for days. So yeah, at the time you think you're being healed because you think you're going through these layers because you're kind of going up and down and you think you're healing trauma. But what actually ended up happening a couple of months after Reiki, I became a Reiki master, and I had what is the ultimate experience for anyone who's trying to become enlightened, which is a Kundalini awakening. So it's a very, very intense experience. I experienced basically like an explosion of energy going all the way up my body in 7 places of the body. And this was after months, mind you, of like lying in bed doing this, like just doing energy healing on my body for like an hours at a day. So that's another huge way that it's just a huge distraction and just gets you so far from God because it puts you in charge. But so after doing that for months, then had these explosions all the way up my body and walked around in some sort of very strange state for 3 days. Like that has to be the craziest thing that ever happened to me. I can't explain it, but I was very calm. I was very, I don't know how to explain it. You can, like Buddhists or people who meditate might explain it. I just seemed at one with everything. Like I had no will of my own. I was just like the universe doing its thing. And I had that experience. And I, like, it wasn't just me who was affected. It was everyone who talked to me, because they would instantly calm down as well, or like change when they talked to me. So it was a very crazy time, and everything was flowing. But then what started to happen was everything started getting locked up. Like I could feel tightening happen in all of these areas. And I would try desperately to get that feeling back, that 3-day feeling that I had. And I keep doing it. And I try desperately to appear, like talk to spirits about it as well, the light beings that I had sometimes seen. And it was from here on out that it all started getting darker and darker. And I started actually visually seeing entities, which I now know to be demons.
I want to interrupt this interview to tell you about a new clothing brand, Unashamed. Unashamed is a brand that empowers people to live boldly for the gospel. Stop compromising between look and message. Unashamed gives you both. Browse between many high quality designs and fabrics to find the perfect piece for you. These designs will only be up for a limited time, so be sure to get yours now at unashamed.ca or by clicking the link in the description. Thank you for supporting our ministry. Now, back to the interview. Yeah, so what did these beings look like, first of all? And Kundalini is something that I've heard of before. I'm not exactly familiar with the term and what it means, but I've heard people say that, especially people that take psychedelics for the most part, where they have this experience that they are one with the universe, and that seems to be pretty much exactly what you experienced. But it was a temporary feeling of feeling good, a little bit like a high, and then it brought you down and it got you addicted to it. And that's when you started seeing these beings. So the theory of like it opening your third eye or whatever that's called, it did open you up to something. So what did these beings look like, and what was it for you in the beginning stages of that?
So the beginning stages of really starting to interact more with like beings was when I was doing Reiki, and I was starting to heal myself with Reiki, because you can talk to ascended masters and this sort of thing, angels. So you're encouraged to call upon them for your healing sessions. You know, call upon Archangel Michael to protect you. And Archangel Michael was a huge one that I felt connected with. And I would always see him as blue. So when I called him into a session, I would see this like electric blue ball. And then there were other times where I saw just faint like outlines of like kind of like a female spirit, but it was glowing white. And she would just be like smiling with some like eyes, and it looked like sparkling dust. And I had a lot of flashes of light. So this is when I felt like the light beings were around. It would be kind of like a bleeding of like this light. Like it's not even always just a flash. It seemed like something was bleeding through, and it would be so bright. And it would be in sometimes in my sessions that I'd do it. And then when I would meditate as well, it would get really, really strong. But then it all started to turn dark. And the more that I chased after those beings, the more that I would see demonic faces instead. I'd see dark figures, like dark shadowy balls. When I tried to fall asleep at night was the hardest time for me, because the calmer that I was, and the more focused I was on one place, like, you know, when you just shut your eyes, the more I would see it. And it would just be like tormenting me, because the more I tried to calm down, the more the face would like kind of pop out and torment me. Just sharp teeth, demonic faces and that sort of thing. I can't really pinpoint it specifically, but there were other kind of crazy things too, just like visions I would have when I was getting more calm of them doing horrible things to me. Demons were showing me that they might have been like stabbing me through the chest, but like, and then I would feel it energetically. So this sort of thing, but it was never so bad that like I would just see it, you know, if I was fully present and awake in the moment. If I wanted to get rid of it, I could like look around and focus on something real, and it would kind of dissipate.
So those light beings or angels looked good from afar, but once you got closer, you started to see what they actually were like. And they were not angels or light beings. They were demons, which is what you would expect, but that's not what the New Age likes to teach. And I think that's just because they haven't gotten far enough to actually understand them. But one of the things that they did to you, or that practice did to you, is you became really confused. So much so that at some point you thought you were an alien from a different planet. How is that possible?
Yeah. The more weird things that you experience, the more weird things that you kind of see, you know, having visions and that sort of thing, experiencing energy auras, what you do is you end up going online and like typing a whole bunch of like stuff that you experience into Google. Like, I have paranormal experiences. I'm highly empathic. I had a Kundalini awakening. I seem to heal people when I put my hands on them. Then you have like a list of things, and then you end up down the star child, the star seed rabbit hole, where you believe that actually you're experiencing a lot of these things and these kind of energetic things with your body, because you're from another planet and you're here to heal everyone and raise the vibration. So I actually thought I was a Pleiadian, and this is just a certain type of being from another planet. And a lot of people around me like egged me on with this too, because I had a group of friends that was quite spiritual and they would see all these things about me and they'd be like, yeah, you're a star child for sure. And we would all just get around and talk about it and see how I had everything on the list. And it even goes into just talking about your loneliness as a child and how you never fit in and your depression. And then it leads you into thinking, well, I feel like that because I'm not on my home planet. You know, I'm from somewhere else. But so it's twisting your desire to be with God into all of these other strange things.
Right. And you mentioned you had some spiritual friends. There was other people, I don't know if they were friends or not, but essentially, for lack of a better term, you became a witch by doing all these practices. And you had Satanists trying to recruit you into whatever they were doing. I don't know if they were the Church of Satan or exactly, but you had Satanists trying to recruit you. At the same time, though, you had Christians that were starting to pop up in your life trying to get you to church. So there was kind of a battle between good and evil trying to get you on their side. So can you explain how that period of your life was for you?
That was the only way I can look at it, is it was a battle for my soul. And I'm just so glad that the Lord ran after me and, you know, I'm in his arms now. But that was mostly all, it was only ever like one Satanist specifically that was really practicing, that really tried to recruit me. Although I met other people who were part of that kind of mind state that Lucifer is the one that's going to free you. And yeah, but I if I look back, the amount of Christians that tried to help me, it's astounding. And in personal ways too, because I talk to other people like, that's never happened to me. I've had people personally befriend me, you know, Christians, and then just be really patient with me and pray for me. And, you know, Christians that have tried to bring me to church, Christians that tried to explain to me even a lot of the things that I was doing was actually demonic. But I was so, at that time, I was like, they're crazy. They don't understand. They're blinded. They're brainwashed is what I thought. And so there was this one guy, particularly when I studied Chinese medicine, it was really, really serious. And he had like demonic tattoos all over his body. And I used to question him about it. And he, you know, why do you follow Lucifer? Like, you know, why would you do that? And he would just explain to me how he's the actual one that tells us the truth. He's the one that's trying to free us. He had crazy books. Like, he showed me his library and he had books that are like the kind that you bid for on auction online on like websites. Like, he was like, some of these books were thousands of dollars and you couldn't find any other copy, all dark, dark books. And he would tell me about the rituals that he did with them. And luckily for me, I wanted to escape everything. I wanted to escape good and evil because I was more of a Buddhist mindset. So luckily for me, I was never able to attach to that as well as to the Lord, which is bad. But, you know, I would always be like, why would you go for that? You know, I'm trying to like free my mind. I'm trying to, you know, become enlightened, not follow Lucifer.
Right. Well, in that battle, even though you're trying to escape good and evil, you have obviously picked the side eventually. So what happened for you to leave the New Age and get more towards Jesus?
I think the main way that Jesus ended up reaching me was showing me that evil existed. That was a truth I first had to accept before I could accept him. So I think, you know, obviously all of my negative experiences with entities, I've had that follow me my whole life. And I would always use various techniques to try and get rid of it, to stop the night terrors, to stop feeling like I had something on my shoulder, to stop feeling like some strange oppression that I was feeling. And, you know, I would go down the Hindu Buddhism route, which is where they kind of talk about it all being a cycle and a wheel. So that there's like different levels, you know, there's like the heavenly realms and then it gets lower and lower and lower. And these beings in these other realms are attaching to you and they feed off you and this sort of thing. So this is what I was kind of believing. So the way to get out of it is to have less earthly attachment. So you meditate more, you become more positive, you try to keep your body really clean, you do energy healing. So I did all of these things to try and get rid of the entities, demons, but nothing ever worked. And I just kind of lived with it, that kind of feeling and just being strange because I couldn't talk to anyone about that, even my own family, because it's kind of weird when you say, I just feel like I'm being oppressed somehow, you know, right. It's most people can't really, maybe in the Christian community, but most people can't relate. And so I would keep it to myself. And what I really started learning about good and evil was probably about 2018. It was a year before I met my husband. So the Lord was preparing me. And I started watching like a lot of information about Satanism in Hollywood and in the music industry. And I remember I used to binge watch these videos, like binge them. I was in some sort of weird, it was a weird time in my life because I got really, really down because you are kind of learning about, you know, New Age with all of that as well. But I'd kind of watch it and then I would kind of at the end be like, all of this makes sense. All of this is logical. It's all true. But nah, as long as I like stay positive and, you know, keep a good mindset, I'm not going to be in that negative. You know, I just have to be like, I am God. So I'm just having a strange experience. I'm just a part of God. And so it kind of flipped backwards and forwards from that. Then about 2019, when I met my husband online, I was a YouTuber at the time, which I am now for different reasons, but I was doing a lot of psychology online and some New Age videos. And all of a sudden on my feed started popping up New Age to Jesus videos. And I started watching these and I was like, oh my gosh, this is my story. This is literally everything that's happened to me my whole life. But that still wasn't enough. I was doing some tarot readings online at the time. And what actually ended up happening one night is I had sleep paralysis. And for the first time ever, instead of trying to be positive, instead of trying to put my hands on myself and do energy healing, instead of, you know, saying positive affirmations, I called out to Jesus and it stopped. And then I was in big trouble. Because I went, okay, this is the first time this has stopped. So that year I bought a Bible and that's when I started reading the Bible, although there was still a journey to go after that as well.
That's incredible. And yes, Jesus is the only one that can get rid of these things. You can't do it on your own. It actually gets you deeper into it. You know very well because you experienced mm-hmm. it. But that was the beginning of your journey towards Christ, but it was just the beginning. You hadn't accepted him yet. So I want you to talk about how your husband also is an atheist and both of you had a similar transition towards Jesus. So can you explain what that transition was like and how long it lasted?
Well, the Lord is just so good, like how he authored our story. It's just so amazing. So when I met my husband online, it was probably about 6 months after we met that we decided seriously, we love each other. We want to date. We want to make this work. And it was also around the first point where I had, because I had read the Bible a bit and I had seen the passage, if you seek me, you shall find me. So I basically made like a pact with Jesus. Okay. I feel so terrible now. I'm sorry, Jesus, but I basically said, if you're real, show me you're real. And I said, so I'm not going to stop anything. I don't know if you're the truth, but I am seeking the truth, Lord. So if you're the truth, show me. So during this time, I was still doing affirmations, still doing manifestation, I think by this stage, I had thrown all my tarot cards out. I'd stopped healing myself, still very into astrology. That's just a very ingrained mindset that has been hard for me to get out of, even though I know it's not true. But I was still practicing it, you know, like it's true, like it has truth in it, but it's not of the Lord. So I basically started reading the Bible and just asking if he was real and journaling to him. And I would ask my husband, he wasn't my husband at the time, but I would be like, will you read me the Bible to sleep? Because we were actually in different time zones, you know, so it's daytime when I'm going to sleep, and he would begrudgingly read the Bible aloud to me.
He was an atheist, like I mentioned before, but it's important to say that he was an atheist.
He's an atheist. And, you know, his mom was a Christian and had been praying for him his whole life and trying to show him the Lord with the truth. So now he was this woman that he loved, also kind of like, but I was very open-minded. Like I was saying, he might not be real, but if he's not real, then it's okay, because he says that we'll find him if we seek him. So don't you think we should at least try? That was kind of my reasoning, like, because I said, I have tried everything else. Like, trust me. Because he was kind of a little bit new agey, not completely, but he was very into Zen Buddhism, and we were very, we had philosophical, metaphysical combos together. That's why we fell in love. And so he would begrudgingly read me the Bible, which goes to show you how the Lord's word will just work, because the way he accepted Jesus is more miraculous than me. So then basically we were separated during COVID. We had to be long distance, because Australia locked everyone out and locked everyone in. So we had a year and a half of being separated. And then finally I decided to come to America and to be with him, because he was still not allowed in. And, I was kind of over reading the Bible at this point. I don't think I was reading it anymore, but I was still journaling to Jesus. I was still praying. And then, we got married within 3 months of being together, which is another crazy thing, just the Lord working, because I never cared about marriage. I never cared about wanting to have a child. I just was so in the new age mindset that I thought, like, you were meant to strive to be happy on your own for the rest of your life. This was kind of my goal. And but we fell so in love. And we just got married. And then I can't remember when it was. It was before I got pregnant. So then I ended up going on a walk in this completely isolated area. So it's basically like this, there's some mounds, which I think, so it's like sacred Indian burial ground maybe. Okay. And like you could walk around in this like kind of secluded forest area that I would never see anyone in. So keep in mind, I'd been journaling to Jesus, are you real? And one day I meet this man and he's lost. And he says to me, hey, how do you get to this area? And I'm like, well, you're in the like weird forest area right now. You kind of need to like go out and go up. He hears my accent. He's like, where are you from? I'm like, Australia. And he's like, what are you doing here? Because it's a small town in Ohio. So I tell him the story and he invites me to a local church. And I went, okay, is this a sign? Is this a sign from God? So I go in and tell my husband about it. And he was open to it, because there had been so many kind of weird things now happening, like little signs here and there. He went, okay, maybe we'll go. But he still wasn't quite ready. And it was when I fell pregnant in January. So I think we met him in November. And then January the next year, he was like, okay, no, I want to go to church, as soon as I was pregnant. And I was like, why? Why now do you want to go and find if Jesus is real? And he said, because all of this amazing stuff has happened to me. You, this baby, everything, my whole life is completely changed. And it's making me start to believe that there could be a God, because I just don't think that this is such a crazy experience. And so then we started going to church. We did Sunday school and everything. And within a week or so, Ben decided Jesus is real, like this, overnight. So the Lord just changed his heart overnight. And that was crazy to me because he was an atheist. And then suddenly I'm the one who had been researching and praying and doing all this stuff. And I was still kind of like, what if it's a belief system? What if it's going to control me? I still had all these kind of questions. And it was a couple months later that the Lord did something crazy for me that made me believe.
What was that? I'm interested. I don't think I know that part.
It was crazy. So basically, I'd been praying to the Lord the night before, saying that I was terrified of becoming his child because he gives out discipline. When you are a new ager, you don't get disciplined because the universe is like reacting to you if you're positive or negative, right? So you don't get punished. You're never punished. It's just based on, you know, what your feeling state is. Mm-hmm. But with the Lord, he's a loving father. And he will discipline you to, you know, help you and keep you on the right path. So I was praying to him about how afraid I was of him and that I was actually pregnant at the time and I was incredibly sick. So I was having morning sickness all day, basically all throughout my pregnancy. And all I wanted to eat was this sugar cookie. And it was the only thing I could think about eating, but I wasn't allowed to drive and I had to wait for Ben to get home from work. And I was starving and sick and I was just miserable. And I hear a knock at the door and I go to answer it. And it's another Baptist church, you know, welcoming to the area. I tell them, okay, I already have a church, but thank you. I take their welcome bag and inside was a sugar cookie. So I just started crying. I just cried and cried and cried because that to me was the Lord's way of saying, no, I love you. It's okay. I love you. Don't worry about, you know, the discipline. Don't worry. Here's me taking care of you. I'm going to take care of you. And then I think I was baptized within a few weeks after that.
That's beautiful. Your story of how you finally found Jesus. And the question that's on my mind is all these years you had been looking for healing. And once you found Jesus, did you actually find the healing you were always seeking for?
Yes. I did. And it seems so cliche for me, the way that I tell everyone this, because my friends and my family only ever saw me struggling with everything. And now I just say to them, I don't have to do anything anymore. I don't feel like I have to journal. I don't feel like I have to meditate. I don't feel like I have to eat a certain way, even though I try to live a healthy life and I try to respect the body God gave me, but I don't feel like I have to do anything to feel okay. And I'm just so grateful. He's filled my heart with gratitude for everything that I have. I can just enjoy everything in my life so much more. I can enjoy the love so much more. I can enjoy being a wife, taking care of my son. I never would have thought that that would have been something that brought me so much joy, but the Lord just fills my heart with this gratitude. And I had no desire to drink, to smoke weed. I just feel at peace pretty much all the time. Whenever I do get in an emotional state, I cast my burdens on the Lord and usually within a day, it's gone. So yes, I did receive the healing.
There is freedom in Jesus. And that's, most atheists don't believe that, or most people that, you know, don't like the church, they think it's the opposite, but it is actually freedom. And you found it, which I find very beautiful. You also mentioned your son, which that's a whole other story. We're going to talk about it on the after show, but that's very interesting what happened with your son. But to end the interview, I want to ask you a final question. If there are any viewers that are dabbling in the new age like you were, what would be your message to them?
Oh, that's a hard one, especially now because I have friends in the new age too. And I would never want them to feel unloved or judged by me for being in that, because I completely understand. And I completely understand how even after I saw the truth with so much of it, I still kept trying to fit it in. But I would tell you, just seek the Lord. If you don't want to give it up and you don't yet feel like you believe in the Lord, or you're afraid of what it's going to do to you, maybe you think it'll brainwash you or it's some sort of belief system that takes away your power, then I would just tell you, just seek the Lord, because if you seek him, you shall find him, and he will show you the truth. And that would be my main advice.
Thank you for watching this episode of the Almost False Podcast. If you still have questions about this story, join us on Locals for the after show, where you can ask questions directly to our guests. Also, come join our Discord community and hang out with us. It's an awesome place to find and interact with like-minded people. If you're interested in sharing your story and being on the show, you can go to almostfalse.net to submit it. And if that sounds intimidating, consider taking a free online course on how to share a testimony more effectively. All those links will be in the description. Thanks for watching, and I'll catch you in the next one. Stay blessed.